NBC Monitor News on the hour, brought to you by American Express Traveler's Checks, the safe travel money for vacation and business trips. Here's Robert Gorowski.
A one-time South Vietnamese provincial chief, a post roughly equivalent to that of a governor in the United States, has been found guilty of corruption. He was ordered executed by a firing squad. The 49-year-old Army Lieutenant Colonel is the highest official to be tried by a recently created special military court. The convicted officer was charged with taking bribes and embezzling a total of about $117,000. Buddhist dissidents and the Viet Cong are threatening to create disturbances before and during the inaugural ceremonies in Saigon. The present chief of state, General Nguyen Van Thieu, will be sworn in as president on Tuesday. The militant monks are planning anti-government demonstrations, and more than 100 persons have threatened to commit suicide by burning themselves to embarrass the newly elected government. Communist broadcasts, meanwhile, are promising new terrorism. It's boasted that even Vice President Humphrey will be subject to attack. In Saigon, where it's Sunday morning, riot control police have been called up to cope with anti-government elements. Around the city, army troops are combing the rice fields from which communists could launch rocket and mortar attacks. Radio Hanoi reports that American warplanes again have attacked North Vietnam. It would be the fifth consecutive day of intensified airstrikes. North Vietnamese President Ho Chi Minh is accusing the United States of engaging in genocide against his people. I'll be back with more news after this from American Express Traveler's Checks.
Ever seen the Takarazuka? You can in Tokyo, a unique Japanese spectacle that combines drama, musical comedy, and vaudeville. But if you carry cash on your trip to Tokyo or anywhere, it could mean trouble. Lost or stolen cash could spoil everything. The answer? American Express Traveler's Checks, the safe travel money. If they're lost or stolen, American Express can save your trip with a prompt refund in Tokyo and hundreds of other American Express offices around the world. And your trip goes merrily on. So, long trip or short, take American Express Traveler's Checks. Get them where you bank. American Express, the traveler's check that saves more trips than all other traveler's checks combined. The next trip we save could be yours.
Once again, Robert Gorowski.
A momentous meeting at the U.S.-Mexican border. The story from Charles Murphy, NBC News in El Paso.
This has been one of President Johnson's better days. Thousands of Mexicans turned out to welcome him and President Diaz-Ordaz to the border city of Juarez. President Johnson stood erect in an open-top limousine, which had difficulty maneuvering through the swirling crowds. His popularity may be slipping at home, but he is still a popular man in Mexico. This visit, in which he formally ceded back to Mexico a small parcel of riverland lost to the U.S. a century ago in a flood, did much to enhance that popularity and improve U.S.-Mexican relations. There were no anti-war pickets today. The president made a veiled reference to the war, though, in a speech at the Chamisal Monument. He compared the Chamisal Treaty to other commitments he said he was bound to uphold, no matter how rough the going got. He is flying to his ranch at this hour for a weekend of rest. Charles Murphy, NBC News, El Paso.
The Soviet Union has announced that it has two new unmanned spacecraft in orbit around the Earth. One of them is similar to the big Soyuz 1, in which a cosmonaut was killed earlier this year. The expectation is that the Russians will launch a vehicle containing several men during the ceremonies marking the 50th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution in early November. More in a moment.
Quaker, save your car to keep it running young.
Whether you're making a long turnpike haul or a short city crawl, your car runs younger with Quaker State Motor Oil. Quaker State is 100% pure Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, super refined to be the finest oil you can buy. It's your best engine life preserver.
Quaker State, your car to keep it running young. Quaker State.
British Prime Minister Harold Wilson was subjected to bitter treatment in Cambridge, England today. Students of the famous university hurled eggs at the Prime Minister. One of the police attempting to protect him was knocked unconscious. Mr. Wilson escaped without injury. Former Senator Barry Goldwater has referred to last weekend's Pentagon peace demonstrators as a paltry, lousy, rotten minority. The 1964 Republican presidential nominee made his comment at a news conference after addressing the GOP Western Conference of Governors in Denver. Again, the top story at this hour, a one-time provincial chief in South Vietnam has been ordered executed after being found guilty of corruption. Robert Goralski, NBC News in Washington.
Listen again on the hour when Quaker State, your best engine life preserver, brings you NBC Monitor News.
My husband is dead.
I'm going to go see it again.
They're all talking about Harold Pinter's new hit play, The Birthday Party. It's at the Booth Theater.
The temperature in New York is 55 degrees and it's partly cloudy. Here are the metropolitan area headlines. Brooklyn Local 1814 of the International Longshoremen's Association has been ordered to court Monday morning to show cause why its members should not be required to go back to work. The dockers have been honoring picket lines set up by a new peer supervisors union that is striking for recognition. The show cause order was granted by a state Supreme Court justice at the request of the New York Shipping Association. The Episcopal Bishop of New York, the Right Reverend Horace Dunnigan, has announced that the Cathedral of St. John the Divine will remain unfinished until more has been done for the deprived people of the nearby slums. More than 100 people, men, women, and children, picketed City Hall today, then held an hour-long rally against the City Council proposal to require registration of all shotguns and rifles in New York City. Joint negotiations got underway this afternoon in the effort to prevent a strike by three Teamsters locals against the milk industry in New York City. An industry spokesman said the talks were moving slowly, but that he was optimistic about reaching agreement without a strike. The talks later recessed and will resume Monday. The present temperature is 55 degrees and it's partly cloudy. The humidity, 34%. The barometer is steady and the winds are from the west at 8 miles per hour. Clear and quite cool tonight, lowest around 40 in the city, to the 30s in the suburbs. Sunday, mostly sunny and cool, a highest temperature in the mid-50s. Fair and cool Sunday night, and Monday, increasing cloudiness and milder. Repeating the present temperature, it's 55 degrees. And that's the Metropolitan News to the moment. Next news from the NBC newsroom at 6 o'clock. Bulletins, of course, will be broadcast at once.
Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew your little troubles away. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's spearmint gum. Work goes faster, smoother too. Life seems brighter when you chew. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's spearmint gum. Get some soon.
Don't move, just leave your dial
now. Here's Monitor. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's Monitor. Hello, this is Monitor 67, keeping you informed and entertained every weekend of the year. Coming up shortly, Mel Allen with all the latest from the world of sports.
I may be a rich man's daughter and have servants of my own. I can snap my fingers and I could have anything I want. Sometimes I look out my window, see lovers hand in hand walk by. They see the diamonds I wear, but not the tears of envy. Man's son, and bring him to our gate.
The seekers, when the good apples fall.
Are you afraid to eat too well because you get acid indigestion, heartburn, gas? If you take plain antacid tablets but don't get the relief you want, listen to this. Your plain antacid doesn't have the extra ingredient you may need. That's why you should know about Digel. Digel contains simethicone, the extra ingredient that helps Digel break up uncomfortable stomach gas. Then the antacids in Digel neutralize excess acid easily. So since Digel gives you two kinds of relief, you feel better fast. D-I-G-E-L, Digel, tablets or liquid, at all drug counters. When someone in your family has a minor cut or scrape, stop the pain with Solarcaine. More effective than ordinary first aids that have no pain-killing ingredients. Solarcaine contains benzocaine, medication used by doctors. Stop skin pain with Solarcaine, cream, lotion, or spray.
Dacron by DuPont, a man's way to stay neat with style, brings you Monitor Sports with Mel Allen in person.
Thank you very much, Ed. Hello there, everybody. We'll start out with college football. Looking at the Monitor scoreboard up at Cambridge, Massachusetts, unbeaten Dartmouth and Harvard got together with Ivy League championship overtones, and it was late in the game when Dartmouth sophomore Pete Donovan attempted a field goal from the 16-yard line, but Harvard, after Donovan had missed, was ruled offside on the fourth down play, so with just 57 seconds remaining, Donovan tried from the 21 and made it, and so doing gave Dartmouth the victory, 23-21. How about that?
Good game.
Florida took Vanderbilt 27-22. Army and Stanford had quite a tussle, with Army the winner, 24-20. Citadel, 21. East Carolina, 19. Trinity, 35. St. Lawrence, 14. Delaware, 42. Ursinus, 14. Massachusetts, 24. Boston University, nothing. And get this, Mississippi upset ninth-ranked Houston, 14-13. Amherst, 34. Wesleyan, nothing. Kansas, 28. Iowa State, 14. Seventh-ranked Purdue, 41. Iowa, 22. And in the battle for the little brown jug, it was Minnesota, 20. Michigan, 15. Penn State played Syracuse.
Yes?
Penn State played Syracuse.
Oh, that's all you're going to tell us?
Well, last week I had good news for you, Ed, and your daughter, but not this week. Penn State beat Syracuse 29-20. I'm sorry about
excessive
that.
Excessive sadness.
But I do have some good news for you. Your alma mater, Boston College, played Maine.
Yeah?
Columbia, 24. Rutgers, 13. Wake Forest, 20. North Carolina, 10. Brown, 7. Colgate, nothing. Bowdoin, 7. Colby, nothing. Yale, 41. Cornell, 7. Fifth-ranked North Carolina State, 28. Duke, 7. North Texas State, 34. Cincinnati, 14. Boston College.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't tell you that score,
no,
did
no,
I?
You didn't.
56. Maine, nothing.
Woo! 56.
Sit down, Ed. Sorry. Right. I mean, Fordham, 21. Fairfield, 19 in the club football game. Virginia Tech, 20. West Virginia, 7. VMI, 18. Virginia, 13. Fourth-ranked Tennessee, 17. LSU, 14 in the tough one. Princeton, 28. Penn, 14. Temple, 26. Delaware, 17. And on we go. Alabama, 13. Clemson, 10. Navy, 22. Pitt, 21. Holy Cross, 38. Buffalo, 25. Illinois, 17. Ohio State, 13. Oklahoma, 7. And Missouri, nothing. At Aqueduct, the $106,000 Jockey Club Gold Cup won by Damascus by 4.5 lengths over Handsome Boy, successor, third. Damascus end of the purse was $69,000, giving him 1967 earnings of $792,941, the most ever won by any horse in a single year, and it's not over yet. 56 to nothing. At Laurel, the $109,000 Salima Stakes, the entry of Syrian C and Gay Mattel to finish 1-2. Singing Rain, the show horse. In Mexico City, Russia won 8 medals in canoeing to wrap up the unofficial team title in the Little Olympics. The canoeing splurge, which included 5 gold medals, gave the Soviets a total of 74 medals compared to 52 for runner-up America. Other sports names in the news. Walt Alston denies a story published in Puerto Rico that he plans to step down as manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Joe DiMaggio leaves for Vietnam Wednesday along with Tony Conigliaro, Pete Rose, and Jerry Coleman, a trip which your reporter had the privilege of making last year. Australian tennis star Margaret Smith married Aussie yachting champ Barry Court. Japanese lightweight champion Akihisi Somaya upset the Philippines' former world junior lightweight champion Flash Elordi in Manila.
Ah, so.
56-0. Ah, so. And that's the late sports news, Ed. Mel Allen here.
Thank you, Mel. Monitor Sports with Mel Allen is brought to you by Worcester Tech's by DuPont. If there's one thing that makes a pro, it's concentration. You watch a series pitcher sometime when he's concentrating on his windup. You could set a bomb off, he wouldn't hear it. Same thing goes for the people of Worcester Tech's. When they're turning out those quality suits of Dacron and worsted wool, they really bear down on the job. They concentrate. Like the guy we heard about at the Worcester Tech's factory.
I'm standing right behind a cutter at the Worcester Tech suit factory. You've never seen such concentration. He's not even aware of my presence. He seems to be working on the lapels for next season's fall weight suits of Dacron and worsted wool. But you know what interests me most? He's got the same lapel pattern pinned to a number of separate stacks of fabric. Now, you'd think he could cut all the fabrics with the same pattern at the same time. Many suit makers do. But here at Worcester Tech's, they know that each cloth has its own characteristics, so it has to be cut separately. You'll find the new Worcester Tech's fall weight suits of Dacron polyester and worsted in the stores right now. So fresh-looking and wrinkle-free. And with those lapels I mentioned that are perfect, because Worcester Tech's cut them that way. Uh-oh. The cutter sees me, and he's staring hard. I guess I better go. I never argue with a man who has a pair of scissors in his hand.
Mel Allen, with comprehensive coverage of all the sports news and results, is heard every weekend, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
It's the biggest show on earth, mornings from 5 to 9. The big time, and that's not just big talk, is music, news, and conversation on the Big Wilson Show, Monday through Saturday mornings from 5 to 9 on WNBC. Join me, will you? We'll have more fun than a three-ring circus.
This is Play School's 50th anniversary. You may ask when and where children attend Play Schools. After school in winter and all day in summer. In public school buildings, in housing developments, in community centers, hospitals. Here, over thousands of children in New York alone are given a chance to discover the joy and excitement and adventure of learning to do things for themselves. You can help us help them. Give today to Play Schools Association, Box 846, New York 10019. The Conversation Station, WNBC, AM, New York.
This is Monitor 67. The time is 19 minutes after the hour. In just 4 minutes more, we'll hear the voices of some of our fighting men in Vietnam telling us what it's like to be in action during the monsoon season in Southeast Asia. First, Monitor Music. Here's Dionne Warwick, who had such a big hit with Alfie, to sing her latest, I Say a Little Prayer.
Before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Walk on my hand now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever. I say a little prayer for you. At work I'll just take time, and all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you.
Forever, forever.
Thank you.
Music and Information Center.
Tired of the same old routine? Today, why not take in a good gas station? Drop in on Citgo. Catch up on the neighborhood news. Treat the kids to a Citgo lollipop. Relax and see how unboring a gas station can be. You see, we've made your Citgo station a little more pleasant, a little bit nicer than the ordinary run-of-the-pump gas station. Citgo, you may not want to live there, but it's a nice place to visit.
Paratroopers of the 1st Battalion, 101st Airborne Infantry, have been in Operation Wheeler for a month without a break in the mountains of Quang Tin Province. They've found that the North Vietnamese soldiers aren't the only enemy. Typhoon rains drench them daily, and there's no time for proper rest. Monitor's Jack Russell talked with two of these men.
What's your name?
Sergeant Glenn Borg.
And where are you from?
Originally Montana. I'm living in Fayetteville, North Carolina now.
What's the matter with your hands?
The water is causing them to wrinkle. Look like I've been doing dishes for about 3 weeks straight.
How are your feet holding up?
My feet are in fairly good shape. They're a little worse than my hands. But compared to most people's, they're holding up real fine.
What do you do to get out from under this rain?
Well, we build hooches with ponchos, put a couple ponchos together and throw some sticks up.
Do they do much good?
Yes, they do quite a bit of good. You can get in and get your feet dry and watch it rain outside.
What's your job with this platoon?
I'm the operations sergeant. My function's mostly supplies, keeping them equipped as best I can.
Have any problems?
When they can't get choppers in, yes, quite a few.
Not much chance of getting a helicopter in today?
No, I'm afraid not, unless the overcast picks up and clears.
The men have enough food and enough ammunition?
And they have plenty of food. They usually carry about 5 days' rations, which is a pretty good load. We resupplied 2 days ago, so we're in good shape.
Thank you. What's your name?
Sergeant Willis C. Hooker.
And where's your hometown?
Roxbury, Mass.
What do you do in a day like this when it's raining and you're not moving out?
I sit in my hooch and try to stay as dry as possible.
Are you succeeding?
Negative. No, I'm not.
How'd you sleep last night?
Well, I slept pretty good. The guys didn't want to bother me for radio watch.
You've been out here a month now. Most of the weather like this?
Most of it. The monsoon set in pretty good. And this will be going on to around January. It's going to be like this, guys may as well face it. Going to have a lot of problems with feet, jungle rot, this type thing. But other than that, I mean, it's no big sweat.
How about your feet? How are they?
My feet are fine. I learned to take care of them my first tour over here.
How long have you been out here on this tour?
Oh, let's see. About 3 months on my second tour. I'll leave in February, unless they decide to be nice to me and let me go home on Operation Santa Claus in December.
You volunteered for 6 extra months in Vietnam?
Yeah, I figured I'd stay around. You know, maybe I could learn something that I learned during my first tour. Could help a few of these guys out their first tour here. Keep a few people alive.
Thank you.
Listening to those brave men, I had a sudden thought. Ever notice you never see peace demonstrators marching in the rain?
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
Mel Allen's back with a late sport result.
Yes, Ed, I know a score that a lot of people are interested in. is just now final. It wasn't a little while ago, and we only give finals on the monitor scoreboard. Notre Dame and Michigan State in their renewal, this time it was out in South Bend. The game was won by Notre Dame 24-12. A lot of stars, of course, on both sides. Naturally, they come from high schools all over the country. I know that you have a son, Michael, I believe, playing high school football at Bronxville. They played Dobbs Ferry here today out in Westchester County, and the reason I'd like to bring it to your attention, Ed, is that, and it's my understanding, Bronxville had won 35 games in a row, and today they made it 36 in a row by beating Dobbs Ferry 31-14.
How about that?
How about that?
Let's hear it for Bronxville, gang.
Gallo, you only live twice. This is Monitor 67, bringing you the sounds and the happenings of the contemporary weekend world wherever you may be in the USA. In Morgantown, West Virginia, we're heard on station WAJR. Hello, Morgantown. Now a word from the NBC affiliate in your area, then more of Monitor.
David Niven talks about some of the great movie names he has worked with later today on Monitor on NBC Radio.
A desperate widow, her beautiful daughter, and the man who will take all they can offer. Rod Steiger, Shelley Winters, and Claudia Cardinale star in Time of Indifference, Sunday at 11:30.
Rod Steiger stars as an opportunist who cashes in on a widow's infatuation for him. Watch Time of Indifference tomorrow night at 11:30 here on Channel 4.
I laughed.
Oh, I thought it was Mark.
My husband is dear.
I'm going to go see it again.
They're all talking about Harold Pinter's new hit play, The Birthday Party. It's at the Booth Theater.
WNBC AM, New York. It's 55 degrees in New York City. This is Radcliffe Hall with the latest WNBC news. Radio Hanoi, pardon me, claims that six American planes were shot down in raids over North Vietnam today. Five of them near Hanoi, one near Haiphong. In addition, it claims an American helicopter was shot down just north of the demilitarized zone. No U.S. comment. Talks between the Chrysler Corporation and the United Auto Workers have resumed in Highland Park, Michigan. They are aimed at averting a strike similar to the one at Ford. Russian scientists have put two new space vehicles into the skies. Both are circling the Earth. President Johnson flew to El Paso, Texas, with Mexico's President Díaz-Ordaz today. In a brief ceremony, he read a proclamation that returned to Mexico 437 acres long claimed by Texas. Six persons, four of them children, have been found asphyxiated in their home in Davenport, Iowa. Police believe someone had tampered with the furnace. In Brooklyn, Mrs. James Robertson returned to her home at 621 Euclid Avenue to be told by a city fire marshal that four of her children died there this morning when a fire swept her second floor apartment. She had spent the night with a sister. A babysitter left the children unattended. City Council President Frank O'Connor has sent a letter to Governor Rockefeller promising him full support in his campaign for public approval of the $2.5 billion transportation bond. At the same time, O'Connor urged the governor to make public a specific plan for the use of money raised. Damascus has won the $100,000 added jockey gold cup in a 2-mile race at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens. Handsome Boy was second, Successor was third. It's 55 degrees and it's partly cloudy in New York, the humidity 34%. The barometer is steady, the winds are west at 8 miles an hour. Clear and quite cool tonight, lowest around 40 in the city to the 30s in the suburbs. Sunday, mostly sunny and cool, high in the mid-50s. Monday, milder with increasing cloudiness. Repeating the present temperature, it's 55 degrees. And that's the news on the weather to this moment. Next news from the WNBC newsroom at 6 o'clock with Lou Wood. Bulletins are broadcast at once. This is Radcliffe Hall.
Next, Burt Bacharach with one of his own compositions, The Windows of the World. Monitor 67, where you keep up to date on the weekend scene. In just a few minutes, Dr. Joyce Brothers will examine the personality traits that go into making a woman a good mother.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? Here's where we separate the notes from the noise. Rear and let a winner lead the way. Here's where we separate the duck from the quack, the ace from the pack, the pip from the Macintosh is back in the group. I came up with the scoop. This was the time to rise and say, I've got in my eye such a jubilant sky. Thank you.
Ellen May with her current big hit, Step to the Rear.
101. 101.
101. The new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101. It's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
Now a question for you ladies. How well do you sleep at night? The answer, believe it or not, may have a bearing on whether or not you're a good mother to your children. For other elements that go into the art of good motherhood, here's psychologist Dr. Joyce Brothers.
What makes a woman a good mother? To answer this question, a group of psychologists at the University of Chicago studied school children and their mothers to find out what the mothers of well-adjusted children had in common that the mothers of maladjusted children didn't have. As a result of this research, it's now possible to predict a woman's chances of raising healthy, happy children by giving her a simple 12-point true or false quiz. Want to take it yourself to find out what kind of a mother you are or might be? Then listen to the following 12 statements and keep track of the number you can truthfully label true. 1. My mother and I have always had a very close relationship. 2. My father and I have always had a very close relationship. 3. My childhood was happier than average. 4. My parents have had a happy marriage. 5. I have a very satisfactory sex relationship with my husband. 6. My general health is excellent. 7. I'm not considered a nervous person. 8. I'm fairly happy-go-lucky, and I don't worry too much about my problems. 9. I very rarely lose my temper. 10. I'm afraid I'm not an exceptionally orderly or efficient housekeeper. 11. I'm a sound and restful sleeper. 12. I usually feel cheerful. That's the end of the quiz. Were all your answers true? Then you're probably a happy, contented woman. The Chicago psychologist found that the 12 statements to which you just responded are the surest clues to a housewife's personal adjustment. And what does that have to do with being a good mother? Everything. The researchers discovered that serene, relaxed, and happy mothers have serene, relaxed, and happy children. Whether the mothers are permissive or strict, rich or poor, workers or homebodies, educated or illiterate, doesn't seem to matter. What does matter is the mother's inner tranquility. She doesn't have it if she answered false to most of the sentences in the test. That's a sign that, troubled within herself, she'll also have trouble with her children. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers. Monitor.
I'd give that test to my wife, but I'm afraid it's a little late for that now. On Monitor next, more music. Here's Glenn Campbell with By the Time I Get
to
Phoenix.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. Find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving. 'Cause I've left that girl so many times before. By the time I make Albuquerque, she'll be working. She'll probably stop at lunch and give me a call. Sleeping. name out low.
At 17 minutes before the hour, you're tuned to Monitor 67. Ahead, more music, information, and interesting people. So stay with us right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Darling, let us have some Chateau Martin wine. Your eyes shine like Chateau Martin sparkling burgundy. Your ruby red lips are like Chateau Martin's blackberry wine. And your body, have some Chateau Martin wine.
Bet you hand this wine to all the girls.
And they love it.
The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin Champagne, the delightful New York State champagne made from choice grapes, carefully selected from the vineyards of New York's celebrated Finger Lakes, to give you that very special Chateau Martin flavor, flavor that bubbles over and adds sparkle to every occasion. The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin Champagne.
I am about the Chateau Martin wine. My brother, the rock and roll singer.
Chateau Martin Wines, New York, makers of famous Chateau Martin vermouth. Had any lately?
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Ed McMahon once again as we go on through the weekend world with Monitor 67. In just 3 minutes, we'll hear an interview with author Bill Adler, who's made a career of collecting correspondence and editing into amusing books. First, Monitor music. Here's Anita Kerr and her group to sing In the Morning.
In the morning,
yesterday.
has been reading other people's mail. But instead of it being a federal offense, it's been a public service, because he's given us all something to laugh at. The people whose mail he has edited into books so far include President Kennedy, President Johnson, Senator Kennedy, Smokey the Bear, the Beatles, the New York Mets, Agent 007, and Batman. His latest letters book is Letters to the Editor, and he talked about it with Monitor's Jack Haskell.
Bill, where did you find the funniest letters in this collection? The funniest letters came from, I think, the New York Daily News, which, and also the Chicago Daily News, and a couple of papers of tabloid size. Mm-hmm. Tabloid papers seem to attract the wildest kind of letters for some reason. I don't know why. The papers like the New York Times seem to get very sedate kinds of letters. I don't mean to say that people are wild to read tabloids. It doesn't go hand in hand, but the letters seem to work out that way.
Can you give us some examples of the funniest letters you
Well, it's hard in a book like this
the Daily News.
to pick the funniest ones, but I think these are a couple that kind of struck me as being pretty funny. Here's one that was written to a New York newspaper from somebody in Brooklyn, New York, and they wrote, "Dear Editor, I don't know why the politicians are so concerned about getting to the moon. Why don't we stay home and watch television the way God intended?" And here's one that's kind of short and to the point, but I think is, I'm sure wasn't meant to be funny, but it comes off pretty funny. This particular letter read, Dear sir, I am 15 years old and my mother won't let me shave my legs. What can I do? Signed, Henry W. Jack, here's a letter which is kind of timely because we all have the memory of the World Series in our mind. Mm-hmm. And here's a letter that was written a few years ago to a newspaper in Chicago. It said, "Dear Editor, last year you were good enough to publish a letter of mine in which I expressed my disgust at seeing pictures of baseball players kissing each other during the World Series and after the World Series. I'm happy to note that my observations seem to have taken root. This year, I didn't see a single picture of a player kissing another. It was a fine series with no kisses." You know, the interesting thing about people who write letters to the editor, now the person who wrote this letter, a lot of people really feel they are changing things, and they do make a contribution, and they get people to do things as a result of writing letters to the editor. And I think on occasions that happens.
You ever write funny letters yourself in hope someday they'll be collected?
A lot of people have asked me that question. As a matter of fact, no, I don't. And I don't get that many funny letters, except a funny thing happened to me this summer. My son, who is 10 years old, went to camp for the first time. And about 3 years ago, I wrote a book called Letters from Camp, which was a collection of letters that kids had sent from camp. And then my son was at camp this summer, and about 3 weeks after he was there, I began to think about his mail, which arrived regularly every day, and the letters looked awfully familiar to me and very funny. And I began to think he's not that creative, and I couldn't understand it. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me that what my son was doing was taking my book, Letters from Camp, and each day sending me back a different letter from my own book from his summer camp. So I occasionally get funny letters, but I don't write any myself.
But do you think letter writing of this type accomplishes anything? I mean, letters to editors?
I think letters to editors are very important. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the most read sections of a newspaper is a letters to the editor section. You can read any newspaper in the country, and they may not have a section on theater, they may not have a book review section, they may not have a horoscope. But there isn't a newspaper in this country that doesn't have a letters to the editor column, and they're probably the most widely read in most newspapers. Is, you know, things that people turn to first to second when they read the paper.
Do you think it has a therapeutic effect for the person doing the writing?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's one of the great ways of avoiding high blood pressure or getting an ulcer is to write a letter to the editor. I think that's our problem, Jack. We probably carry around too many burdens and too many frustrations, and we don't give vent to them. And if we wrote more letters to the editor, I don't know about you, but I'm sure my blood pressure would be down at least 10 points. And I'm thinking of doing it after this show.
Well, one thing letter writing does accomplish is giving Bill Adler enough material to keep bringing out funny books, the latest of which is called Letters to the Editors. This is Jack Haskell for Monitor.
Sounds like very inexpensive therapy. Don't quarrel with your spouse. Write a letter to the editor. Here's Barbara Streisand with her version of a great old torch song, Lover Man.
I don't know why, but I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I've never had no kissing. Oh, what? got a moon above me, but no one to love me. Lover, man, oh, where can you be?
Listening reminder. Later today on Monitor, with Ted Steele as your host, you'll be hearing interviews with Marty Allen, the Hello Dare comedian, with Marty Mills, one of the Mills brothers of paper doll fame. In the Halloween mood, you'll hear about the ghost of Bath, England, and funny girl Joan Rivers will be along, plus regulars Mel Allen and Al Capp. All this set in a frame of good music, of course, so be sure to listen later today on Monitor. Outside of Chicago, Walter Wanderley at the console. This is Monitor 67. I'm your host, Ed McMahon. Stay tuned now for NBC News on the Hour.
Keep tuned, the latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere.
When you find follow the eagle. The red, white, and blue eagle. Invest in Freedom Shares, U.S. savings bonds.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York. The correct time, 6 o'clock, time for Monitor News on the Hour.